Welcome to today's episode of Morning Motivation.
The moment you start feeling abundant and worthy, you are generating wealth. The moment you're empowered and feel it, you're beginning to step towards your success. The moment you start feeling whole, your healing begins. And when you love yourself and you love all of life, you'll create an equal. And now you're causing an effect. And I think that's the difference between living as a victim in your world, saying, I am this way because of this person or that thing or this experience. They made me think and feel this way. When you switch that around, you become a creator of your world and you start saying, my thinking and my feeling is changing an outcome in my life. And now that's a whole different game. And we start believing more that we're creators of reality.
As your quick brain challenge, or quick challenge, if you will, imagine this. Imagine you have a thought experiment where you did this every single day, if you're willing. What if the only things in your life tomorrow are the things you express gratitude for today? Let me say that again. What if the only things in your life you had, the people, the opportunities, the resources, the objects, all the things, what if the only things you kept tomorrow are the things you've expressed gratitude for today? Would you live differently? Of course, we all would. And how does it feel to feel grateful? It's amazing, right? Because somebody can have everything and not appreciate it, and it feels like they have nothing. But somebody can have very little resources, but they feel so grateful and appreciative, they like have everything, all right? And so what I want you to do as part of your challenge today is to express your gratitude in one of two ways. You could express it with people around you, and that's wonderful. Talk to your family, talk to your friends, express gratitude for the person that lives or delivers your mail, wherever you are, express gratitude for them, and or express gratitude in a journal. A lot of people, they like to express gratitude by writing things down. So it's verbally is great, but also writing things down kinesthetically. There's something about putting pen to paper and to be able to see all those things. Some people, what they'll do is they'll write in a little note card, one thing they're grateful for that day, and they'll put it into like a fishbowl. And then at the end of like 365 days after a year, they just go and read all those things. And I even just get goosebumps thinking about that. I call them truth bumps, but it just, how do you come alive that way? And so my challenge for you today is you deserve to feel like you have more than you think you have. Like if you want to feel truly wealthy, count all of the things you have in your life that money cannot buy.
I'm fascinated by martial arts. I'm fascinated by comedy. I'm fascinated by many, many different things. I don't understand when people say they're bored, because if I had the time to live 100 lives, I'd be speaking different languages. I'd be living in different countries. I would try a number of different careers, because I think there's a lot of unbelievably fascinating, puzzling, complex things that you could study in this world.
See, think about knowledge, man. You can Google knowledge. You can go online and get knowledge on anything. You can press a button and read about this and read about that, and then you can go and repeat that, and people go, wow, he's knowledgeable. Okay, cool. But exposure is totally different. Exposure is when you see it, touch it, feel it, go there, experience it. That's different. Exposure, once you open your mind to exposure, you can never shrink your mind back down. Because exposure don't decrease. Once you've been exposed and your mind expands from exposure, you can't shrink it back down.
You can be asking for assignments that are above your level. So there's work that you do at your level, and then there's work that you do above your level. And the only way that you're gonna be promoted to do work above your level is A, if you can demonstrate that you're capable of doing the work at your level, and B, if you are proactive in seeking out opportunities that expand your capability and give you a chance to work above the level that you're at.
You keep looking for it outside of you. Stop. Sit with yourself. What is it that you do the absolute best with the least amount of effort? That's your gift. But if you are constantly looking outside of yourself and you don't latch on to your gift, you will never find your purpose. If you want to succeed, you must commit to your own gift and embrace it.
You don't have to necessarily have done anything wrong for things to get completely out of control. It's a terrifying doctrine, but it's not a hopeless doctrine because it still says that there's a way forward, there's a pathway forward, and the pathway forward is to adopt a mode of being that has some nobility so that you can tolerate yourself and perhaps even have some respect for yourself as someone who's capable of standing up in the face of that terrible vulnerability and suffering, and that the pathway forward, as far as the existentialists are concerned, is by, well, certainly by the avoidance of deceit, particularly in language, but also by the adoption of responsibility for the conditions of existence and some attempt on your part to actually rectify them. And the thing that's so interesting about that is, well, two, as far as I'm concerned, and some of this is from clinical experience, you know, if you take people, and I've told you this, and you expose them voluntarily to things that they are avoiding and are afraid of, you know they need to overcome in order to meet their goals, their self-defined goals. If you can teach people to stand up in the face of the things they're afraid of, they get stronger. And you don't know what the upper limits to that are, because you might ask yourself, like, if for 10 years, if you didn't avoid doing what you knew you needed to do, by your own definitions, right, within the value structure that you've created to the degree that you've done that, what would you be like? Well, you know, there are remarkable people who come into the world from time to time, and there are people who do find out over decades-long periods what they could be like if they were who they were, if they spoke their being forward. And they get stronger and stronger and stronger, and we don't know the limits to that. We do not know the limits to that. And so you could say, well, in part, perhaps the reason that you're suffering unbearably can be left at your feet, because you're not everything you could be, and you know it. And of course, that's a terrible thing to admit, and it's a terrible thing to consider, but there's real promise in it, right? Because it means that perhaps there's another way that you could look at the world and another way that you could act in the world, so what it would reflect back to you would be much better than what it reflects back to you now.
How to do something is the wrong sequence to start with. Like, what's the strategy for being fit and healthy? It's not that complex, and yet 70% of the U.S. is overweight.
Like, you just have to do it.
It's not a strategy problem. What it is why aren't they doing it? It's because they have a story. And everyone does this, entrepreneurs, you know, business people, everyone does this. When we get fearful, when we've tried something and we're not succeeding as fast as we want, when we are afraid of failing, we come up with a story about how it's not our fault or how we're gonna do it in the future, because then we don't have to feel bad. Feeling bad makes us have to deal with it. Most people are overwhelmed, so they come up with a story about, I tried everything. If you tried everything, you'd be fit. You'd be healthy. Yeah. You know, I tried millions of things, millions, name them. Three things they did 50 times that don't work.
Right.
But I think if you can come up, when you change the story, when you come up with a new set of beliefs, you'll find yourself finding the strategy or using the strategies that already work that are there that right now your mind says, oh, it won't work. And the best way to change people, you got strategy, story, is state. And I always share this with business owners. You've got to be able to produce a different state in your people. There has to be something compelling. There has to be a sense of mission.
Don't compare yourself. Most of the people you see on social media, or even in your personal life, or even when you go to lunch with them or see them at work, they're wearing what I would call a public mask. It's the best possible version that they can put out to themselves. And oftentimes what we do in life is we compare our real identity that we're working on and we're growing to their mask. And that's not fair to ourselves at all. Any comparison doesn't serve us. And it's oftentimes this comparison, when you're in a disagreement with somebody, it's the mask they're wearing compared to the identity you have, and then you begin to run a pattern to respond to it. It happens in fitness, in relationships, in money, and in business. Remember, you're in charge of controlling your own identity and growing your own identity and being aware of the patterns you have that do and do not serve you. Not comparing yourself to someone else's public representative. It's just the representative they're putting out there. It's not who they really are. And it's not something that you need to be aware of, because it's not something you can control. The more you can begin to delineate in life between things I can control and I cannot control, would be to the extent that you're more productive and you're happier. You can control your own thoughts, your own emotions, your own identity, and your own patterns, not other people's.
In the business community, the number one question they're asking me right now is how to deal with millennials.
Yeah.
And you know,
Forbes magazine number two challenge.
Yeah, and so what I say to them is this: before we deal with them, before we fix them or whatever we're going to do with them,
they don't think they need fixing.
That's exactly right. But we do.
Maybe they don't.
But we do. Oh, we did. I share with these leaders, value them. You see, everything begins with valuing people. There are gaps, obvious age gaps, thinking gaps. But the first thing you have to do is you have to find common ground. And the common ground that I find with people is I value them, period. No strings attached. Regardless of age, regardless of anything, I value them. That's kind of Jesus-like. That's what he did in the Gospels. Now, the moment that you value a millennial, you find some common ground, you can then begin to have some understanding, of which I say, it's our responsibility as elders, seniors, to understand them first, instead of making sure they understand us.